Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Having told us in the first half of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, that there are four things that will actually add value to your life upon the earth, namely sorrow, rebuke, patience, and wisdom, Solomon now expands upon the fourth one, the last one in the list, namely wisdom, and gives us some very helpful wisdom for daily living in the last half of the chapter. He gives us, first of all, wisdom concerning religion. Secondly, wisdom concerning human relationships. Third, wisdom concerning human sexuality. And finally, wisdom concerning human nature. Wisdom. And he's already told us that acquiring wisdom will actually add value to your life upon the earth. And Solomon does not equate wisdom as exactly the same thing as knowledge. They're related. He doesn't separate them completely either. In fact, I showed you in chapter 7 earlier on where there's a statement where he uses them, well, not exactly synonymously, but he links them together in the same verse, but he doesn't use them synonymously. And earlier in the book, he tells us that the accumulation of knowledge doesn't add much value to our lives, but here in chapter 7, he tells us that the acquiring of wisdom does. So what's the difference? Wisdom is the godly understanding, a God-given ability to rightly understand information. There are people who have a great deal of information, but little or no wisdom. But wisdom allows us to take knowledge, take information, and to understand it properly, to be able to organize it, to sort it out, to put things in their proper category, and to utilize that knowledge in a beneficial way, in a God-honoring way. That's wisdom. And here Solomon is giving us wisdom in a number of areas of life, and we started down that path yesterday and will continue today, which is Tuesday, November 3. And thank you for joining us, and thank you so much for helping us with the cost of maintaining this program on the station. Well, first of all, wisdom in interpreting Scripture, and then secondly, wisdom in understanding righteousness. But back to verse 15, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Now, that is puzzling. And Solomon is saying that. Solomon's saying, this is not normal. That's the meaning of the first part of that verse. I've seen everything in my days of vanity. And as we learned on the broadcast yesterday, Solomon is saying, I've seen some strange things in my life that don't fit the usual pattern. Usually, the righteous live long lives and the wicked have their lives cut short. But sometimes it happens the opposite way around. The righteous man who dies young, and an unrighteous man who lives a long and wicked life. A puzzlement to Solomon, a puzzlement to Jeremiah, a puzzlement to Asaph, the author of Psalm 73. And the reason why we find that difficult to understand is because, number one, it seems to violate our sense of justice. Our sense of justice says people who do wickedly need to suffer the consequences of their wickedness, and if they keep it up, if they don't cut it out, they're going to eventually, in their wickedness, do things that are going to cut their life short. We've all known the tragic story of someone who would not control their intake of alcohol, and they shortened their life thereby. It's tragic, but we've all known somebody like that, I would imagine. Or drugs. How many people have not only ruined their life with drugs, and they generally do ruin it before they end it because they render themselves unable many times to be productive, to be able to work and hold down a job and live a normal life and be able to support a family. They lose all those things as a consequence of their waywardness, and then usually their life is cut off short. Now, we see those things, and as tragic as they are, and they don't make us happy, nevertheless, they do fit our sense of justice. People who obey God, listen to His Word, live disciplined lives, are rewarded with a long life, and people who ignore all that and go their own way and consider that the instructions of God are not for them, don't apply to them, they generally cut their lives off short. But what about the exceptions that violate our sense of justice and the exceptions that seem to contradict some of the statements in Scripture? And there are those things. And what's the explanation? What's the solution to understanding why this might happen? Well, I'll give you two explanations. Solomon doesn't give us one in any explanation here. He just makes the observation that in my long life, I've seen some strange things, and here's one of those strange things: righteous men who die young and wicked people who live to be old. That's mighty strange. It doesn't happen that way usually, but sometimes it does. He doesn't offer an explanation, but let me offer at least two bits of understanding that will help you with this. And number one is to keep in mind that only God knows the heart. In other words, there are people who, to us, appear to be righteous who may not be. How tragic it is when somebody that seemed to be living a godly life, maybe even was a leader in ministry, is found out to have been living an ungodly life, a double life. He was, or she, was living sinfully in secret, except it could never be kept a secret forever, all the while presenting himself or herself as a godly, righteous person. We've all known that. We've all known that. We've all seen that happen, and it breaks our hearts, and many times it even touches us very deeply when they're people that we know or people who are leading a church or a ministry that we're involved in, and then something like that happens. It really shakes you to the core. But, realize that there are some times that that's going on, and it never is brought to light in this world, but God knows it's going on, and He will bring it to light in the world to come. And in a case like that, would we be surprised if God would cut that light short and say, I'm not going to let you go on in hypocrisy, living this double life, this double standard? I am going to call you into accountability. I have been long-suffering with you. I have warned you. I have called you to repent of your sin and to live the life that you pretend that you are living, the life that you want other people to think that you are living, that you're not living at all. I have called you back to that, and you have ignored my calls, and therefore you are going to suffer the consequence of a life cut off short. Now, here's the problem with that. This does happen. Here's the problem with that, and that is we've got to be careful that we don't jump to the conclusion that if a godly person dies young, that that's the reason. But it can be. That's what I'm saying to you, that only God knows the heart, and sometimes what we're dealing with is somebody who to us appears to be righteous, but to God appears to be a wicked, wicked, wicked hypocrite. Think about Judas, who never would have been discovered, evidently, if his hypocrisy and wickedness had not been brought to light at the time of Christ's crucifixion. But the other disciples did not suspect him, even when Jesus identified him as the betrayer. His hypocrisy had been I want to say perfect, but there's never anything that's perfect, but his hypocrisy had been so excellent, so convincing, that neither Peter nor John nor Andrew nor any of the other apostles had the slightest suspicion that Judas could be a wicked hypocrite and he was the one who was going to betray Jesus, even when Jesus pointed him out at the time of the Last Supper. But Jesus knew the wickedness of his heart. He appeared to be righteous, but he wasn't, and his life was cut off short. He committed suicide. In his case, his wicked hypocrisy was exposed right before the end, mere days, just a day or so before his life was cut short. So keep that in mind. What appears to us is often not the true case. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But another one is this, that the general principles of the Bible are not absolutes. Sometimes people take statements, for example, the book of Proverbs. There are a lot of things in there that are general statements, general principles, I guess I should say, but they're not absolutes. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, is one that comes to my mind readily. Is that an absolute? Does that mean that it's guaranteed? A lot of people take it that way, but observation tells us that that is a general principle, not an absolute. There are exceptions. Generally speaking, that's true. If you live a godly example and train your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, in most cases, they are going to become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In many cases, they're never going to live a wayward life, and even in the case of those who do take a detour, it's only a short detour, and God brings them back. And that's the general rule. It's a wonderful encouragement, promise, but it's not really a promise. It's a general principle that we can be encouraged to know, and that should encourage us to be very faithful and very fervent in the intentionally godly training that we give to our children. But we need to realize that sometimes the best parents sometimes, and you can see this sometimes with multiple children. Here's a family of four children. Three of them, they're all raised the same way. And three of them become very godly followers of Jesus Christ, and one of them becomes wayward his whole life, and his life is cut off short. Because these statements are general principles, not absolutes. Again, my time is gone. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.